But on most days, there were relatively few outside observers watching the 4th ID. It was operating in the dank palm groves and the hot, dusty towns of the Tigris River Valley north of Baghdad, an area that was never welcoming for reporters and that grew increasingly difficult for civilian or military travel in the fall of 2003 and after. In one of his letters home, Lieutenant Colonel Steve Russell, a battalion commander in the 4th ID, offered his rationale for the strong-arm tactics he sometimes employed. "We would not win the people of Tikrit over," he said. "They generally hate us. We are kind and compassionate to those that work with us, but most detest us as a general rule. But they do respect power. Some have questioned our forcefulness, but we will not win them over by handing out lollipops, not in Tikrit. Too many of my bloodied men bear witness to this. They are the beer hall crowd of Munich in 1945. Lieutenant Colonel David Poirier, who commanded an MP battalion attached to the 4th Infantry Division and was based in Tikrit from June 2003 to March 2004, said that the division's approach was indiscriminate. With the brigade and battalion commanders, it became a philosophy. Round up all the military-age males, because we don't know who's good or bad. He recalled that one brigade commander in the 4th ID blew up a house a guy was building and called it a demonstration of force. Poirier was upset, in part because the owner of the house had been helping him with operations in the nearby town of Samara. They didn't seem to care, he recalled. Colonel Alan King, who had moved from the 3rd ID to the CPA, had a similar impression of the 4th ID's approach. Every male from 16 to 60 that the 4th ID could catch was detained, he said, and when they got out, they were supporters of the insurgency. "It is not black and white," Odierno said at a meeting of the Association of the U.S. Army. "Being too gentle also carried risks," he implied. "We'd go in, do a raid on a house, and we wouldn't search any of the families. And as we were leaving, they would hand weapons from under their dresses to their men who would shoot at us. So," he said, "yeah, initially we probably made some mistakes. But," he continued, "we adapted quickly." One of the problems, he added, was that only one side in the fighting, his, was required to play by rules. They were not constrained. He elaborated on his views in an article in the Army's Field Artillery magazine. He made the point, worth noting, that his troops faced a population more hostile than in the rest of Iraq. "From June 2003 to January 2004, we had three times more than the combined number of attacks in the rest of the Iraqi theater." The decentralization under Lieutenant General Sanchez sometimes extended even further down, to the levels of brigades and battalions. In the 4th Infantry Division in particular, noticed an Army intelligence officer, there were two brigade commanders whose sectors were side by side in the Sunni Triangle, yet used vastly different approaches. On the west bank of the river, around Samara and Balad, was Colonel Frederick Rudesheim. Rudesheim said, "I really want to support civil affairs." He gave them augmentation, additional troops, security. He said that civil affairs was his bread and butter. Meanwhile, on the east side of the Tigris River, around Baqaba, Colonel David Hogg was operating on a war footing that focused much more on action against the insurgents and intimidation of others. Hogg said that his forces were there to kill the enemy, not to win their hearts or minds, recalled Major Christopher Varhola, an Army Reserve specialist in civil affairs who worked in a large swath of Iraq.